Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what is FESELA and what countries are members? The word herencia means heritage in Ladino or Judeo-Spanish, the language spoken by many descendants of the Jews who were expelled from Spain in 1492. The Herencia Project was created by Centro Sefarad Israel in 2009 to promote communication and cooperation among Sephardic communities throughout the world. In 2015, Miguel de Lucas, the Director General of Centro Sefarad Israel, told us about the Herencia Project in general. And this week, we're speaking with him about the 4th Herencia Summit held recently in Mexico. Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Miguel. We spoke about Herencia in general in a previous program about the organization itself and when it was founded. You said in Toledo in 2009 to work with international Sephardic communities and to kind of approach these Sephardic communities. Could you tell us what countries are part of this Herencia project?
Well, many countries, at least 30 different communities or cultural associations linked to different countries. But countries such as in Latin America, for instance, Mexico, Argentina, Colombia, Brazil, Uruguay, Peru, till almost around 40 different origins of different countries, yeah, 40.
Are these the same countries that were there at the beginning, or has it grown?
It has been increasing. It has been increasing in the last, we started in 2009, so since then, I mean, we have increased. But basically, as I mentioned, these countries are linked to Latin America on one side, to Eastern Europe, that is to say the former Ottoman, Southern Eastern Europe, former Ottoman Empire, and Northern Africa, even if we have some exotic things, for instance, like somebody who came from Sydney, Australia. Well, I think Sydney is the most exotic thing we have.
You told us the last time that the global summits are held every 2 years. Where and when were the first 3 summits held? And does each summit have a different theme?
Well, the places where they took place, the first was in Bulgaria, that is to say in Sofia and in Plovdiv. The second took place in Turkey, Istanbul and Izmir. The third was here in Spain. It took place in Madrid, Toledo, Avila, which was the main place, and Castillo Mota de Judíos, which was the last stretch. So the fourth has just taken place in Mexico. The theme, no, there's not a specific theme for every summit. The idea is to exchange opinions, exchange projects, but it's very general from the point of view of the topic.
Why Mexico?
Well, this is something similar, Linda, to the Olympic candidacies. I mean, there are some cities candidates, and then we analyze the different possibilities. And Mexico was the best one in this sense. And why? First, because we wanted, because they asked it for. And second, because I had occasion to travel to Mexico in last September. I realized there the importance, the value, and the excellent organization of Sephardic Jewish communities in Mexico. So that's why.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Sephardic community in Mexico? Because I think that generally we think that there's a large Ashkenazi community in Mexico. Are there many Sephardim compared with the Ashkenazim? And do they have a relationship, or do they tend to maintain their own culture apart from the Ashkenazim?
Mm-hmm. I don't know the balance between Ashkenazi and Sephardim, because I met some Ashkenazis there, of course. But what I know about Sephardim there is that they are extremely well organized, but not unified. They are different communities from different origins. And something peculiar, which is this 2 big communities, Syrian communities. And you can say, okay, all Sephardim Jews from Syria are together. No, they're not together. Different communities, Jewish, Sephardim, Syrian, from Aleppo. And a different one, and extremely well organized as well, Jewish, Sephardim, Syrian, from Damascus.
Yeah, I think that there's a kind of a historical rivalry, kind of like Madrid-Barcelona or New York-California in yeah. between.
Or don't go too far, Tangier Tetuan, for instance. it's classic. But I mean, they have excellent relations, but different personalities and different identities. There's another one, because we work with these two Syrian communities, and another third, which was the Balkanic, Turkish Balkanic community. That is to say, all Southeastern European Jews coming from Turkey, Greece, and the Balkans, this is their community. So these are the three main communities. I must say, extremely well organized on one hand. On the other hand, they are really part of Mexican society. They are real Mexicans. So I see an excellent balance between Jewish identity and Mexican identity. And what you told me is that there's a very few rate of assimilation. So I think for me, in the Jewish communities, the foreign Jewish communities I visited in many years, this is perhaps one of the best I've ever seen.
So if there's a very low rate of assimilation, do they run into any anti-Semitism there because they're kind of separate or special?
No, what I saw is that they have excellent relations with civil society there, with political powers. For instance, Linda, it is extremely important that the inauguration of this RNC summit, the presidency of that inauguration was, he was there, the mayor of Mexico City. Now it is called head of government of Mexico City because they changed the status, but he's the traditional mayor, and he's the second personality, the second more important person in the country after the president, and he was there. So that's a clear example of how good relations Jewish communities have with political powers in Mexico.
How many people attended the summit?
Around 70.
And were they mostly from Latin America? Were they also from Eastern Europe and the United States, for example?
They came from the United States. They came from Eastern Europe. We made an effort with Eastern Europe because there's a problem that so far in Jewish communities from Eastern Europe, they don't have perhaps the possibility to send somebody to Mexico. So we managed to organize some trips, for instance, a trip of Drita Tutunovic. Drita Tutunovic is a Sephardin from Serbia, and she's the only Latino speaker in Serbia. So she came, we found a way to finance her trip. But the rest, mainly they were from Latin America, because one of the agents that worked with us in a very close way was FESELA, Federación Sephardí Latinoamericana.
What countries belong to FESELA?
Almost all, I mean, starting in Mexico, ending in Argentina, but you have Chile, you have Colombia, you have Brazil as well, you have Uruguay, you have Peru, you have Panama, all Latin American countries where you can find Sephardic people.
Are these Sephardic people who are, let's say, practicing Sephardic people, or did you have any presence from the crypto-Jews who are now starting to look into their Sephardic heritage, because in the southwestern United States there's a very big movement now.
No, this is Sephardic people. I mean, we analyzed that, and in one of the talks we had, somebody talked about crypto Judaism and the importance of crypto Judaism, but basically these were officially Sephardic people and people linked to the Sephardic communities or to private cultural initiatives, but always promoting Sephardic culture.
In our last interview, you said that in these global summits, you try to analyze where you are and promote different projects and initiatives. Can you tell us what subjects or projects were covered in this summit?
What we did this time, previously we have organized something like groups with different items, youth, culture, community life. This time we did it in a different way. Everyone who came had between 10 and 15 minutes to tell whatever they wanted. But basically we recommended something, tell us about your community. How is it? How things are going there? Which projects do you have? So that's what they did. I was extremely useful because they said, no, we're working on this project, perhaps an exhibition. We're working in this project about memories, about remembrance, about not to lose traditions. Or we're working on this project about cooking, food, whatever. So the idea is that now people, for instance, is working and say, yes, you in this place, I don't know, for instance, Venezuela, you're working on this. I like this project. Perhaps we can share it. Perhaps I can take this exhibition to Buenos Aires or to Turkey or whatever. You know? So that's the idea of Herencia, to create network, people to exchange information and projects.
So after these summits, the groups keep in touch with each other and let's say, work on the projects that they've discussed in the summits.
That's the idea. But we do it in a very unorganized way. We don't want structures. It's private relation among people. Sometimes, I mean, I'm informed about that, and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I realize later when an initiative has taken place, I realize that Mexico and Smir have signed an agreement. That's a reality. It's a consequence of Valencia, but there was a few years ago an agreement between Mexico, Sephardic Jewish community in Mexico, and Sephardic Jewish community in Smir. But that's the idea of Valencia, create civil society links.
In our last program, you mentioned that many communities are worried about maintaining their traditions among the youth. Was that brought up at all, and how is that going?
Is still a real problem. One of the things we like the most is that in Mexico, each one of these three communities has its own school. So in one of them, in the Balkanic Turkish community, we were there with young people, students, people under 15, and they were singing Sephardic traditions, and it was very touchy when we saw, okay, that's your gift, you give it to us, and then our gift is Drita Tutunovic, a lady who is 80, how much years old, and she's a survivor from the Shoah, is going to sing you how she sang, her mother sang in Belgrado, in Belgrade, 45 years ago. You know? So we saw that in Mexico, they're working on that. Tradition is going to the kids, you know? But most of the communities say the same. I mean, even we try to push the communities to say, try to send somebody to Valencia who is under 50 or under 60, you know? But most of the people is over 50. You know? But it's still a problem. I think I mentioned to you last time, a lady from Bulgaria, Stefani, told me the word, el problema es la mancebez. Mancebez is the youth. You know?
Yeah.
It's still a problem.
This was the first summit since the Spanish law was passed granting nationality to descendants of Jews who were expelled in 1492. Did this come up at the summit?
Absolutely. Many of the participants were asking for nationality, and some of them already have this nationality. And they told us that, I mean, this law is complicated, the process is complicated. So we tried to give some advice to people who needed advice, but it's a... It's a question, it's a matter for the Sephardic Jews, absolutely. And many of them are active candidates for that.
Were there any general conclusions that you can tell us about?
No, Valencia doesn't have the idea of any topic, but as I mentioned, the conclusion is we want to work together, we want to continue with this project, and very important idea, this is similar, I go back again to the Olympic Games. The last Olympic Games in history have to be the best. If they are not the best, something has been wrong. No? So I must say that Mexico Valencia Summit has been the best in history. And it is to progress, to continue progress for the next, within 2 years, that we will see which where shall we go. But it is working together. We have no special conclusions or we don't focus in a special area. We are generalistic.
You mentioned that in between the summits, different communities do projects with each other. Does Herencia as an organization act as a kind of a clearinghouse for this, or as a kind of a central organization to keep all these different communities in contact with each other between the summits?
Somehow, Centro Sephardic Israel is the key for that. But as I mentioned, not always. I mean, sometimes I realize that they already have a project, and I have news about that project later, you know. But there's not like a headquarters of a central place for us, you know. This is very unorganized, and that's the idea. We don't want structures, we don't want hierarchies. We want people-to-people exchange.
Is there anything else you would like to tell us that we might have left out?
Well, basically, I want to thank Mexico. I'm absolutely impressed how they organize this. And mainly I want to recognize one person. His name is Alberto Levy. Alberto Levy, he's not now a community leader in Mexico. He's Mexican, he's a Sephardian, and he's one of the main leaders in FESELA, Federación Sephardic Latinoamericana. But he's the one who took the flag and who organized everything, him and his team. And I'm absolutely grateful to him and to all the Sephardic Jewish communities in Mexico.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSephirah.com. See you next week.